Good evening, this is Mae Bressel. The title of this broadcast is World Watchers. It's program number 750, April the 21st, 1986. I've done many broadcasts on Libya through the years. I was just looking back at some of the titles of them, going back from 1979, 1980, 1981. And there's so much material, there's no way that I can go back over and repeat a lot of that, because many of you regular subscribers have the cassettes from the air and get them through the mail of those particular broadcasts. I did update the Libyan story in March, March 31st, as a matter of fact, program number 747, on the Libyan confrontation and Ronald Reagan in the Gulf of Sidra, how he's provoking Muammar Gaddafi, and trying to give an overview of how complicated this event is in the Middle East. It isn't a matter of crossing a line of death over at Gulf of Sidra, and it isn't a matter of bombing a disco in Germany. The situation in Libya has been on the drawing boards for a long, long time, and now the president is ready to make his move against Muammar Gaddafi. I mentioned the conflict, the theory that Dr. Anthony Sutton has, the author from Stanford Institute. It's not only a theory, but it's been supported by evidence through the years about the conflict of right and left and the confusion over who is causing the problems in the world as against the actual facts as they exist. Now, William Wilson was in Libya. He has an oil company over there. He's an envoy for the president of the Vatican. He also has business interests there, and I will cite some more very concrete business context. And the problem with geography has as much to do with business, which includes the narcotics trade, as anything else. And it has to do with firms and contracts and oceans. And I cited Brown and Root and various large corporations, American corporations, the Occidental Petroleum. Arm and Hammer is a big wheel in Libya, getting the oil started for Muammar Gaddafi there. The control of each geographical area, as I see it, is a stepping stone towards World War III, and it is set up for whatever way we want it or to use it to our advantage and then take it over so that the United States has all of these countries surrounding the Soviet Union and can prepare for what has been wanted since the Russian Revolution, actually, to wipe out Marxism and communism, take the vast resources of Russia for the large corporations and make World War III. Now, starting in 1976, the, in quotes, terrorism of Gaddafi was educated and funneled to him by the intelligence system for a time when they later could knock him out, take his resources, and take the country. In October of 1980, October 21st, 1980, Jack Anderson had an article that I had on the air going back to that time titled U.S. Killer Know-How. And he said, American cloak and dagger operatives skilled in the dark arts have trained and equipped terrorist squads for Muammar Gaddafi, the dictator of Libya, to promote world terrorism. Dozens of victims have been gunned down, hunted down, executed with cold efficiency of American know-how, which brought the murder profession out in the open to Gaddafi. One death squad was discovered in the United States and it was expelled. According to Justice Department files, American experts have taught Gaddafi killers how to construct sophisticated booby traps that turn innocent objects such as a book or a telephone or toothpaste into murder weapons. The American ringleader, Frank Turple, even offered to smuggle into Libya a U.S. red-eye missile, a shoulder-launched, heat-seeking weapon that would bring down an airliner in flight. There are unconfirmed intelligence reports an Israeli airliner, which mysteriously exploded in the sky, was shot down with such a weapon by Gaddafi's terrorists. Incidentally, Frank Turple is still at large. He weaves in and out of areas such as the Caribbean and Cuba, along with Robert Vesco, who's very much part of this story. And Frank Turple was at Grenada shortly before the Americans invaded there and swept up and took that little island and killed Maurice Bishop. Frank Turple is still serving as a provocateur, and in the end, or always it was that he was helping dictators, teaching Idi Amin how to torture or Gaddafi how to blow up airplanes to get an action so we can get a response. Jack Anderson wrote back in 1980, the fiery Gaddafi, who, a crucible of anger without focus, supports terrorist groups around the world from Ireland to Malaysia. We'll see, it's the terrorism that's going to allow the world dictatorship, so they arm Gaddafi to get ready to counteract his actions. The article says Libya publicly admits it gives training, weaponry, and funding to terrorist organizations throughout the world, specifically admitting the PLO, the Irish Republic Army, the Red Brigade, and the Japanese Red Army. And in those cases, the extreme right wing and the Knights of Malta and the Vatican and the fascist organizations are also setting up these organizations, and it appears they are from the left, and they are trained by our Marines, our CIA, and our Defense Department. Jack Anderson said the report revealed in the investigation was the supplying by United States firms of sophisticated timing devices, radio control devices, sensitive surveillance, communication equipment to unauthorized residents. Frank Terpel met President Carter's brother, Billy Carter, in Libya and tried to set him up as a front for unsavory operations, and I'll do more on that later. Frank Terpel agreed to train Libyan agents in espionage, sabotage, psychological warfare, as well as the design, manufacture, implementation, detonation of explosive devices. The undercover training was disguised as a mine-clearing operation. Now, keep in mind that this is all in the open. There's no secrets about this, how the Americans were training Gaddafi to become a terrorist. The fact that Edwin Wilson is in jail, a partner of Frank Terpel's, or George Corkla, is in jail for a short while doesn't matter at all, because they sent the weapons and taught how to kill and got what they wanted out of the area so that the multinationals could come in now and own Libya, own a port, this large area in the Mediterranean, and a foothold in Africa under the guise of stopping European terrorism. Jack Anderson said beginning in 1978, that was 1976 rather, in that early year, Terpel himself, a CIA agent, recruited a team of American clandestine operatives, paramilitary specialists, professional killers, and explosive experts trained by the CIA and the United States Special Forces. And those Special Forces and the Green Berets are the ones that we want to send now down to Nicaragua to help the Contras. By August 1976, the Americans were ensconced grandly in the former Winter Palace of former Libyan King Idris, a luxurious hideaway that they assigned the curious code name Swanee. A palace room was turned into a workshop filled with diabolical devices, devices the Libyan intelligence chief liked to take trusted friends on tours of secret rooms, show off deadly wares, and his American mercenaries. The visitors were impressed with a book bomb that detonated when it was opened. Witnesses quoted a Libyan lieutenant as saying the devices were used to eliminate certain people because Gaddafi would feel more comfortable if they weren't around. At least one American quit the team because of he felt innocent people eventually would get killed with the bombs. He didn't care about the military use of the devices, but he knew they were for terrorist use and innocent lives would be lost. And by 1977, the Americans delivered lethal flashlights, attaché cases, transistor radios, handheld calculators, refrigerators, all transformed into bombs, and they went to a Libyan colonel in Tobruk. So the United States should, instead of having a law against sending any of this stuff out of the country or putting in prison anyone for life that teaches terrorism, we don't do that because we need terrorism to get fascism. Now, in 1981, broadcast number 508 and 509, the week later, 510 and 511, four consecutive weeks in 1981, August and September, I did a lot of this story of Gaddafi of the Middle East, and I don't want to repeat it again on the air. These tapes are available if you write to me and send a self-addressed envelope. I can tell you how to obtain them because I'm not going to repeat 4 hours for those people that do subscribe regularly. But I pointed out in one of the broadcasts, August 30th in 1981, that in 1977 the CIA started equipping Gaddafi with weapons to kill people, and it involved Theodore Shackley and Edwin Wilson, the same people that worked with the Nazis in Chile in Colonial Dignidad. that they were the far right, they weren't the left. If it was terrorism, it was made to look like the left, but Gaddafi and these people were far right. Then I did a chronology of Ronald Reagan with Alexander Haig, lashing attacks at Gaddafi and linking him to Moscow, which is what is happening today and bringing us to the verge of on the way to World War III. In 1981, in July of 81, the House Intelligence Committee alerted Ronald Reagan of plans for Africa, and they also had information on the plans to kill Gaddafi that William Casey had to explain, and I'll go into that a little bit in a moment. This was in July 81, and now the newspaper is filled with stories of plans to kill Gaddafi. The CIA was going to overthrow Mauritania. Gaddafi was a big influence in Mauritius, and they had reasons to try to kill him then. The CIA was waiting till Ronald Reagan was reelected, and then they could do what they were planning to do. The plans to kill Gaddafi were evident in July and August of 1981. If you go to the library and look those up, and other articles of August 1981, CIA planning operations and what they were going to do for Egypt and Turkey, Pakistan, Guatemala, and so forth. I did quite a few broadcasts on Gaddafi and the Middle East, because it would come again. It was important. It wasn't a problem that was solved. It was important for what would come again. In September, on September 13th, 1981, that was broadcast 510, I had an item on some of the CIA corporations exporting assassins and equipments for terror. Now, these are CIA. One was the Egyptian American Transport and Services, which I'll do a lot more on, in, if not this evening, next week, about Mr. Thomas Kleins and the CIA money that first was going to Sadat, and then for the plan for the murder of Sadat that went into the hands of Mr. Mubarak, who now is soon going to be killed, and a military dictatorship will be set up in Egypt simultaneously with the death of Gaddafi. A far right-wing Nazi-type coup will take place there. I listed the companies, six companies that involved Edwin Wilson and Thomas Kleins, Theodore Shackley, George Kokla, and the money that poured into this particular operation, the Swiss banks that were funding the Egyptian-American Transport Services, and how Libya hires the CIA anti-Castro Cuban assassins for their jobs. And I asked the question, why is the U.S. Senate so quiet on this? And then I referred to a book many of you have or should get, Tom Davis, Research Carries It, by Paul Manning, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, and it tells about the arrangement for Colonel Nasser of Egypt, how the CIA built him up, similar they did to Gaddafi. They trained Gaddafi. Also, the CIA referred to him as Hitler's Chief of Eastern Intelligence, Mr. Otto Skorzeny, built up Nasser with Reinhard Gehlen and with Hallmar Schacht. And the whole network of Nazis from Heinrich Mueller came in from Brazil and a team of Nazis to train Sadat to kill Nasser, and were in charge of those operations. And this book, Nazi in Exile, Martin Bormann, goes into Colonel Gaddafi, who was set up by the Nazi Bormann Brotherhood, and he was to be in charge of Libya, and Nasser would get rid of Farouk, and they would have him in Egypt. Now, the fact that they use them temporarily just means that you slide them out. Their usefulness is over. And this is what happened with Squad 19 with Richard Nixon in 1972. If there are plans to kill him and he'd been useful all the years, he's of more use dead and more police control, say, under Spiro Agnew. So the fact that Gaddafi and Nasser worked with these teams doesn't mean it isn't time to murder and get them on their way. I also referred in 1981 to French Nazis that were backed by Gaddafi. That this came from the London Times, October 10th, 1980. Recent killings of the Paris synagogue bombing compared to European fascism in the 30s, and the links of the far right wing, the Nazi elements of Gaddafi in Europe, destabilizing Europe, being part of the team all along, as I say, until he's not usable anymore or can blackmail and carry on operations on his own if he gets too strong. The Los Angeles Times had an article, a brief comment editorial by Dave Durenberger. He's the member from Congress, the Senate chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. It seems that he's been kind of knocked out, the wind knocked out of him. He's been opposing William Casey and the changes in the CIA. And he wrote a editorial type article, Democracy in an Age of Secrecy. And under the title is, Without Access to Vital Intelligence, How Can the People Decide? And he's saying the conflict as chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee because there's an air raid on Libya. Historic changes take place in the circumstances under which the United States commits its armed forces to combat. He said, in the past, wars typically began in response to military assaults, like the German blitzkrieg against Poland, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, the invasion of South Korea by North Korea. These events were tangible, unambiguous, and visible to all. But the times have changed. And, of course, with William Casey, from the OSS, the CIA, and the Knights of Malta, and being in charge, ruthlessly moving along like a bulldozer, there's no way to stop that man now. Dornberger doesn't speak of it in those terms, but he says the times have changed. A few days ago, we initiated major military operations against Libya in response to an intelligence report available only to a restricted number of government officials. And he as much as says, how do we know that this report is accurate? In 1962, we went to the brink of war with the Soviet Union based on intelligence reports concerning the Soviet missiles in Cuba. This reliance on the arcane and shadowy business of intelligence as the trigger for the use of U.S. military power has paralleled broader changes in the nature of international conflict. Traditional distinctions between war and peace have been superseded by the ambiguities of Cold War and the netherworld of state-backed terrorism. And he said the United States justified its bombing of a Libyan target by referring to Gaddafi's history of support of terrorism. More specifically, the president cited Libyan culpability for a Berlin discotheque and such operations. But the fact of the Berlin bombing was undeniable. However, the irrefutable evidence of Libyan responsibility for this and other planned attacks rested entirely on intelligence reports. The public and the press have no independent means of confirming the accuracy of those reports or whether they were subject to anybody else's interpretation. He said, what is required is a renewed sense of trust in our elected leaders that democracy thrives on healthy skepticism. And if you are working on the report of these people and not getting the facts to a lot of people to make a decision about who is the enemy or what we are doing, we're in trouble. He said, the real issue is the United States foreign policy and security policy is increasingly dependent on intelligence that must by nature remain secret. Now take the example of the Grenada invasion when we were told by Caspar Weinberger that the Soviet Union was putting in a huge airstrip for taking over the Caribbean, and it was an absolute lie. He showed it to us in March of 83, and it wasn't that at all. And that was a justification for striking there and then bombing a hospital and not telling who was in there or what happened and secretly getting rid of those corpses and saying no press could come around for 2 or 3 days. So Dave Dernberger, Senator Dernberger, is asking about a democracy in the age of secrecy, and for all purposes, the democracy is over. There's no such thing. I've warned for years that the National Security Council tells the president, and security is what they or the corporations or the multinational drug dealers think they want. It has no basis upon fact or the fact of how Gaddafi became a terrorist in the first place. Now, there was a murder in Lebanon this week, the reaction to the strike at Libya. And the San Francisco Sun-Times had an article, Bay Area native thought he was in no danger. Peter Culburn said his library job made him immune to Lebanon's violence. Now, I wonder, what is the criteria of you listeners out there or your friends or your family or your public officials? Everybody sits back on their can and thinks, I'm immune. I'm not a political person. I'm not interested in politics. And then the article tells he thought he was immune because he wasn't very much. He was just a librarian. Okay, the president bombs Gaddafi's home. The Muslims get angry and some faction of them. And they kill this librarian, and nobody, the reason I bring it up is that nobody is immune. Each one is responsible for himself and to be intelligent, and the facts of Lebanon that he should be helping change have been out long enough before he was kidnapped, and it's a fallacy to think, I'm only a librarian, I don't know what's going on. Now, another person that was killed on that raid was a Captain Paul Lawrence, Paul F. Lawrence, who bombed Libya, one of the two that didn't come back in the airplane. And the San Francisco Chronicle had an article today, Fund Set Up for Son of Flyer Killed in Raid. A trust fund was set up for the 8-month-old son of Captain Lawrence, the Navy flyer presumed dead, who was killed in a raid on Libya. The gentleman setting up the fund is State Senator Ed Davis of Chatsworth, who's running for Senate of the United States this year. Now, I mentioned Ed Davis last week, broadcast 749, because he ran Squad 19, the group with G. Gordon Liddy, E. Howard Hunt, and James McCord that planned to kill Richard Nixon in 1972. And I mentioned how this Rafi Eitan, Dirty Harry, who works for Permandex, was in San Diego in 1972, and the assassination teams were in place, in fact, for a coup for killing the President of the United States. And Ed Davis was chief of police in Los Angeles when Robert Kennedy was murdered, and he was chief of police when he let the Aryan Nations, the Nazis, out, and Mr. Richard Butler's friend, Thane Caesar from Lockheed, and he was in charge of the prison riots and the famous murder of George Jackson, the trial that's going on now with Stephen Bingham as head of the LAPD, and their links through criminal conspiracy section up to California. So Ed Davis is concerned about the 8-month-old son of the person killed on the raid, and he also is running for office, national office, as one of our senators. And he is a man that should literally be hung up like Mussolini, except that he keeps working up politically and nobody goes back to the crimes of the past. And it's the crimes of the past, as you see very clearly in the news today, and for those who particularly have followed me through the years, that they're coming to a head right now. Now, in East Germany, President Erich Honecker was speaking to the Congress there, the 11th East German Congress of the Communist Party, and Mr. Gorbachev was visiting, attending that, Mikhail Gorbachev, and he said at this presentation that the attack against Libya could lead to a new world war. It would certainly not only harm the East and West relationships, but it was, he felt, the opening gun probably to World War III, that it was the key issue of his speech. He said these were imprudent actions that could lead to a catastrophe that could plunge humanity into an inferno of a new world conflict from which there will be no return. The U.S. attack will unavoidably have a negative effect. Now, he is saying it could lead to a catastrophe. You've heard those words on the shuttle memos. They knew that several years ago, certainly 1984, 1982, that certain conditions would lead to a catastrophe. But what these people don't understand is it's a catastrophe that is wanted to happen. That is the purpose of our debt, our goals, our placement of weapons. It is that the East-West relations are important. The banks are collapsing. The scandals won't go away. The Lehman Doctrine, John Lehman, Secretary of Navy, has stated clearly how he will begin World War III. Caspar Weinberger, George Shultz, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, and Ronald Reagan are all part of the Permandex operation. They will use security from terrorism as their excuse for World War III. And as I cited last week, Reagan is groomed with the biblical prophecy that first you attack Libya and then the other Arabs respond and stir the kettle that will cause the Armageddon and the attack against the Soviet Union. As I say, there's a coup plan for Egypt to get Mr. Mubarak out, and the chronology of these people through the years has been very consistent. So, yes, indeed, President Erich Honecker of East Germany is right. It could lead to a world war, but following history, that's exactly what they want. The LA Herald had a story this week. Senator Leader Robert Dole, Majority Leader, proposes legislation that would waive the War Powers Act. And he wants the president to order military action. This War Powers Act was put in 1973, where the president had to consult with Americans in order to send, with Congress, in order to send Americans into war. But if you kill an American librarian in Lebanon, you already say, hey, Congress, you know, Americans are being killed. And following this weak cable message out of Berlin nightclub, the flimsiest excuse for what is being flamed and started off, Dole then uses that provocation to state we want the War Powers Act. And furthermore, he says he wants the situation changed where the president would have the right to do political assassinations. The man already bombed Gaddafi's house, and it used to be covert murder. The United States needs permission to do murders, like Adolf Hitler needed permission to do murders. The whole thing is ridiculous. We are now at the stage in 1986 where take away the War Powers Act, we'll send Americans anywhere we want, and they're ready to send the special forces, the Berets, into Nicaragua and take away the restraints, because then you have to have the Rockefeller Committee, the CIA, the Senator Church Committee, the House Select Committee on Assassinations. It costs so much time and money to lock up stuff. Just say, we can kill anyone we want, and let's go on with it. And this is exactly where the administration is now, and that's where they started when I first went on the air 15 years ago. Starting my 16th year now, this is exactly what they were building up. Now, this last Saturday, there was an article, Ronald Reagan denies he tried to kill Gaddafi. He said yesterday the bombing raid on Libya, this was the 19th, wasn't to kill Gaddafi, but the administration was making jokes Thursday, and they said they would have hit the jackpot had Gaddafi been killed. We hope we would get rid of him, the Washington Post quoted one official as saying, but they weren't sure where he would be that night. America just has no desire, and I just want to reemphasize this maybe every week, no desire to sit and talk about any one of these problems. Those people that are in place in the White House, in the National Security Council, in the Pentagon, have no desire. They're there because they want war. That's all they want, and if they want it, they're going to get it. And then they quoted Bernard Kalb saying the United States is not trying to kill Gaddafi. As we said many times, we're trying to stop his support for terrorism. Now, Bernard Kalb was the pathological liar who put out the white paper for NBC saying that Aja was linked to the KGB, and this whole trial of the century fell apart. It was nothing but a lie, but he influenced people by saying that the Soviet Union was behind the plans to kill the Pope, to kill a holy man from Poland. It was Bernard Kalb who says, we don't want to kill him or overthrow him even, but stop your terrorism. And Bernard Kalb is the protege and co-anchorman with his brother of Henry Kissinger and Kissinger Associates through all of his media life. And Kissinger has killed Salvador Allende and Orlando Letelier, and we don't have to go through 3,000 murders of Mr. Diem or Mossadegh or JFK. Just run them all down. Kissinger Associates. So Mr. Kalb says we don't want to kill him. Who in the world would leave a liar like Bernard Kalb or Marvin Kalb, his brother, the spokesman for the Pentagon? Now, in 1981, July 27th, there were headlines, plans to kill Gaddafi. Casey is in trouble over reported plans to kill Gaddafi. And if you don't have these, you can go to your library and look up the date. CIA Director William Casey stepping up his fight to keep his job. Faces a new controversy over the CIA plan that he approved to topple strongman Muammar Gaddafi. Now, in 1981, they want to kill Gaddafi. From 1976 to 1981, till Ronald Reagan was president, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Marines trained Gaddafi. Then they want to come in and take the oil and take that northern tip of the Mediterranean, the southern part of the Mediterranean, the North Africa. And Casey kept his job. He was planning this covert action, and of course Casey, being the director of the CIA, has a history going way, way back, and peaks of it came out at the time of Watergate, and this memo from the Intelligence Committee was spread around, and there were lots of pages telling about his plans to murder Gaddafi. It had nothing to do with the provocateur action of the Berlin nightclub. This was way put in the drawing board till after Ronald Reagan's re-election, and maybe to stop any other elections, because he always wanted to be commander-in-chief, but the plans to kill Gaddafi with William Casey go way, way back. and the provocations now were to create the situation to kill Gaddafi at this time and take over the oil and the property and the multinationals, the businesses set up by Peter Drucker, could achieve what they want by literally grabbing the land, by making him become a terrorist, and then taking the country that they developed, the oil companies and so forth. Now, Jack Anderson had an article in 1981, The Assassination Game, that if you go on and provoke the situation, then in turn Ronald Reagan would be killed and you could blame Gaddafi. I'll take a one-minute break and go back to that concept. If you keep goading them, you can get Ronald Reagan off this time with a better-than-John Hinckley job. And then George Bush of the CIA, who had Task Force 157 with Henry Kissinger and Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple, would be running the White House and directing what they did from private offices before they went into the Oval Office. As I say, I'll take a one-minute break and go back to many of the implications of the Libyan conflict.